Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always good to chat with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about all things 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everyone. I'm great. Thank you.
We are doing well as well. What are the Packers doing with the right tackle competition?
Good question. I don't know.
Cool.
I seriously. I don't get it. They drafted Anthony Belton in the second round. He is a tackle, a left tackle is what he played at NC State. But I just, at first I just wanted to think, well, maybe Steno just misspoke. But again, the fact that he included right tackle with left tackle and guard, which we knew left tackle was going to be a competition. The head coach and the GM both announced it earlier this offseason. And the fact that they didn't say, Aaron Banks has got to, he's got to compete too. Or Elton Jenkins, he's got to compete too. It's just the way it played out makes me think that, they don't think that Zach Tom is as good as apparently the two guys that used to play right tackle think, or most of the rest of us think. So again, I don't know. I know Josh, he floated the idea that it's some sort of negotiating ploy to drive down the price. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I'm surprised that more people haven't I'm going to get accused of stirring up drama, but the dude was essentially third team all pro. There's no such thing as third team all pro, but Zach Tom finished third in the voting for the AP all pro teams. Penei Sewell was the first team right tackle. Lane Johnson was the second team right tackle, but Zach Tom got three votes. He was first team, according to Pro Football Focus. He had the highest grades, which I know aren't the end-all, be-all, from them of his career. And yet, he acknowledged that he didn't play as well as he would have liked to have because of the peck. But the idea that he's in an open competition, I would love it if someone would explain it to me because I don't get it.
Is there a possibility that at the end of the year, none of the three guys that are a part of that draft class are on the team in Walker, Tom, and Ryan?
Evidently, right?
I mean, those are the three in competition, I guess. I'm thinking, could Ryan end up being the one they end up extending? Like, if Belton wins the right tackle job and Morgan wins the left tackle job or vice versa, the whole thing is so strange.
It leaves me wondering if there has been, and John Runyon would have been like the test case, if you will, if there has been some sort of shift in mentality that basically says, hey, these guys are a dime a dozen, and we'll just keep drafting new ones. We'll use them up, and then we'll draft new ones again.
But then why spend money on Aaron Banks?
Yeah, I don't know, other than the fact that the reason they had to pay Aaron Banks is because they missed on Josh Myers, right? If they had hit on Josh Myers, like they would have on Creed Humphrey, had they taken him instead, then Elton Jenkins is still playing left guard. They do extend him. And I'm not saying that Josh Myers is part of the use him up and move on from him. I mean, he is, in terms of how much he played, I mean, he started a ton of games. But, I think we can all acknowledge that even those of us that like Josh as a dude, the league spoke on whether or not he's a starting center right now, right? I mean, the contract he signed with the Jets was to be a backup. So, again, I'm not saying that they should have signed him too. I don't know. And this is one of those instances where being an old guy on the beat makes it difficult for me, because once upon a time when we would get to talk to these guys in a more intimate setting as opposed to at the podium, you'd say, hey, what's the deal here? Like, I'm not going to quote you, but explain to me what exactly, like, how on earth is Zach Tom, other than the blanket, well, everyone's got to compete, everyone's in competition, how is he someone that you think has to be either pushed or competed with, or possibly, to your point, Gabe, isn't deserving of an extension? I don't get it. I just don't.
I'd be concerned about the dynamic it's creating.
Agreed.
Right? And like this idea that you have to, and again, I understand it's the NFL. I understand it's a big boy league. I don't think anybody rests on their laurels, if you will. But at some point, it does feel like what you have done for the organization should have some merit. And it sounds like they might be shifting towards a, no, you're only as good as your last game. And since your last game was, you know, 8 months ago, you know, we'll see how things go in the fall. I just wonder if that's something they need to be concerned about going forward, that maybe mentality, and then how that affects the culture of that group and, yeah, you know, all of those sort of things.
I agree. And it's at wide receiver too. Wide receiver is a little bit different, but it's, you know, look, I think we all want to feel appreciated in our job. That doesn't mean we're going to be complacent. That doesn't mean we're going to be lazy, but I don't know. And again, you can call me soft and the YouTube comments can be about how I'm sensitive or whatever else. But like, it does feel like that is their mentality. And I just don't know. I mean, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago with Chew about, you know, Jeff Thomason was appreciated, but no one was like, oh, well, Jeff Thomason's competing with Chewy for the starting tight end job. Like, I'm intrigued by the thought process here, and I am curious what it does for guys, because this kind of goes back to, heaven forbid, kind of Aaron Rodgers' complaint about, you know, kind of the money ball approach of that there not being conversation or connectivity with the front office. I think this is how Goody wants it. And so, again, you said it. It's a big boy league. You got to earn your keep. But it just feels like an overcorrection to me, too far over to the everyone's in a competition side of the spectrum. You don't want to be telling everybody, oh, your job is safe either. I get it. But there's something... there's something weird about it to me, and I'm glad I'm not the only one.
That 2022 draft class, Jason, is probably the best one Goody's had from top to bottom.
Is it?
I mean,
if you're not going to re-sign that's any offensive linemen.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And you didn't give Quay Walker the fifth-year option.
That's what I'm saying.
And
like, this
you're
is
not
supposed to
re-sign
be...
Romeo Doubs.
Who knows what happens with Christian Watson?
Yes.
Like, because this is, I mean, those first, I mean, Quay Walker, starter. Devontae Wyatt, starter. Watson, when healthy, starter. Sean Ryan, starter. Mm-hmm. Dobbs, starter. Tom, starter. Those mm-hmm. were your first six picks. But if none mm-hmm. of them are actually going to be like pillars or here long term, is it actually that good of a draft class?
Yeah, I can't understand. This is part of the not understanding it, right? Because I totally agree with you. Like, you get that many starters, and if you view them as all replaceable, not only does that say that you think that maybe they're not as good as we all think. And remember, I keep going back to this, but Goody had that line before last year's draft about, on average, teams re-sign 1.6 players from their draft class to second contracts. But maybe if you think they're all replaceable, maybe this is just, again, insight into his philosophy. But the problem is this: you got no margin for error then.
100%.
Right? You cannot miss on draft picks if you're just going to keep cycling them through.
Right.
And if you have a class like 2022, I got news for you. No, I don't care how good your system is and how good the guys you have on your personnel staff are, they are going to miss.
Well, and to be honest, the conveyor belt can't keep up, Jason. The conveyor belt, I'm picturing Lucy now with the chocolates and the, you know what I mean? But like, it can't keep up. You can't be pushing players in fast enough to replace the ones that you are kicking out and like you said, hit on every single one of them. That is Gabe, I think you just gave Jason an article with your 2022 draft guy by guy.
What I do here, really. I'm here to pitch story ideas to a talented writer, since I'm not a talented writer.
Does this just all go away if Zach Tom gets an extension? Is it as simple as until you get your second contract, you are in a competition and you earn everything every single time you go out there?
I don't think that's the way it used to be, Josh. And maybe that is how things are now, and maybe you're right. At the same time, you know, there are a lot of guys in that draft class that have played a ridiculous number of snaps and started a ton of games. And, you know, there's no, just because Goody says, oh, we want Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt long term, doesn't mean that he will actually keep them long term, right? Like, I think in Devontae Wyatt's case, I think he's just not convinced. So he wants to see more of them. In Quay Walker's case, I think they're, even though I thought he had kind of turned a corner last year, I think they're sitting there going, hey, we got Edgerrin Cooper. We think he's really good. If Quay Walker doesn't play well enough to deserve an extension in 2025, we will just move on from him and we'll draft another guy. So I think the Zach Tom thing, if he got an extension like at the start of training camp, it would certainly quell some of this. But I don't think it changes the overarching thing of they are definitely on the conveyor belt. And the image of Lucille Ball is perfect.
Last thing before we let you go, Jason. There is a article that Matt Schneidman put out about the Packers with the most to prove. Now, thankfully, Jordan Love is on that list because we all believe that he does need to take that step in his evolution in order for the Packers to get where they need to go. Who, in your mind, is next on that list?
Ooh. Well, who did Matt Schneidman have next on his list? Were they in order of, because I have not caught up on reading. I was trying to get a lot of stuff.
They were not in order. They were just sort of gathered, if you will.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of guys, right? And I would put two former first-round picks at the top. Well, maybe three, since I just mentioned Quay Walker. But I want Rashawn Gary. If I'm a Packers fan, I want Rashawn Gary to prove he's an elite pass rusher. So he's got that to prove. I think LVN has to prove that he's good at all. And Quay Walker has to prove, now that he's in a contract year, what he's capable of. So those would be the first three people I would spring to mind if I were to plagiarize that story.
Very good. If I were to borrow the idea, if you will. Gabe is happy to, you know, share the 2022.
Well, no, I don't need to borrow anybody else's ideas. I got Gabe generating. So I'm good.
It's great. All right, Jason, we appreciate
just make
you
sure
out
you,
with
you
us.
Know, hey, just make sure you get Keith the check and we can keep coming up with ideas, Jason.
We are going to go over that list when we come back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we do, guys, we have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people, so please consider Professional Construction Inc. when you do your next remodeling project, home addition, or if you're thinking about building a new home, because that's exactly what we do. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships, and they've been in the business for more than 20 years. You don't stick around for two decades unless you're doing exceptional work. Learn more about PCI and see their work at Professional Construction. Inc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.